tonight. Met an old friend, someone who I used to take comfort from long before I met you. And I saw a spark in her eye, a forgotten desire. With a word or a touch, could have rekindled the fire. Old flames can't hold a candle to you. No one can light up the night like you do. Flickering embers of love I've known one or two. Can't hold a candle to you, Mr. Larry beside me, all their memories are gone. Like a star in the night, gone with the sweet light of dawn. Oh, flames can't hold a candle to you. Like you do. Flickering embers of love I've known one or two. Old flames can't hold the candle to you. Flickering embers of love I've known one or two. No flames can't hold a candle to you.
You were just listening to Richard Dugal covering Old Flames Can't Hold a Candle to You, a song that Dolly Parton took to the top of the charts in 1980. Richard Dugal, or as his friends call him, Dickie, had good friend Larry Johnston accompany him on banjo for this recording. Good morning, it's Steve Todd, and I want to thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Today's show is part one of a two-part series with Dickie Dugal, a singer, songwriter, and guitarist currently based out of Drumbo, Ontario. Many of the listeners might have seen him perform with the Commercial Bluegrass Band at the Commercial Tavern in Maryhill, but he's also played with several other bands such as Clean Sweep, Randy Morrison and the Flat River Band, and Sunrise. After some technical difficulties using Zoom, we managed to connect for an interview. So let's check in with Dickie Dugal to learn more about his musical journey. Just before we got disconnected, I asked you where you were originally from then.
Galt, Ontario.
Oh, okay. You grew up in Galt. Okay. So you're a local, local guy then.
Yeah. I'm an old Galt boy.
Okay. Did you ever take lessons then, or you sort of learned off your brothers and everybody?
Yeah, I never really took lessons. Just the Mel Bay book, guitar playing.
Okay, yeah.
And, I learned how to make chords and whatnot, and for strumming and all that, I seemed to pick it up, and I really wanted to sing, so, the guitar was kind of nice to strum along and sing with, right? That seemed what helped to drive me to play music.
Oh, yeah.
Just singing and playing guitar.
Yeah.
That's what I did a lot at first.
Did you play or sing in like church or at school or anything like that? Or?
No, just at home and, playing around the house. And, I brought the guitar to school a couple times, maybe about in grade 8 and whatnot, But
okay.
And then other people were bringing their instruments and, sometimes something would happen, right? I never took lessons, just learned by myself.
Just from looking at your CDs, that you were a songwriter too. So when did that all kind of start? Were you pretty young still, or?
No, I did the songwriting later on. Like, I never really tried it when I was younger or in my teens or anything. I just, when we were doing the one CD there, like some originals on, and seemed like under pressure, I could write a little bit better, and I wrote a few songs in a couple months, and the boys that I was at the time, they liked it, so we put it on the CD.
Okay, well, good for you.
Yeah.
I know you more as a bluegrass guy, and I think that's what your two CDs are. Like you mentioned, country originally, so at some point you must have made the jump to bluegrass, then.
And in about the early 70s, I started going to some bluegrass festivals.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And, Carlisle and Back 40 and some of the ones that were close to around this area. That's where I started meeting some bluegrass people.
Okay.
And, got introduced to some of the, Earl Scruggs, Lester Flatt, and Seldom Seen, and Bill Monroe, and whatnot.
Okay.
And then I started buying albums and learning the bluegrass and going to jams and stuff like that. Around this area, like a bunch of us were fortunate to have Barton's Inn, that little bar that used to be in New Dundee.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The fellow who owned it, he used to bring up some pretty good American bands and that, so we go out there and listen to some pretty darn good bluegrass. Gee, we cut our teeth on that kind of stuff, the guys I've basically played bluegrass with were almost right in my backyard. Like you were mentioning there, Larry Johnson, the banjo player, he was from Preston, a buddy of mine, Norm Tellier. I went to school since grade 2. He was living in Galt too.
Really? Okay.
And his brother played bass, upright bass. We had people around that were into the bluegrass or folk music kind of thing. And that's how I got interested in it and learned more songs and played a lot.
Well, that's great. Good for you.
Long ago and far away, my old common labor shoes I turn the world all which way, just because you asked me to. Like onto no other field, simple love is simple true. There's no end to what I do, just because you asked me to. Let the world call me a fool. Things are right with me and you. That's all that matters, and I'll do anything you ask me to. I love you, and after all that we've been through, I turn and walk away from you, just because you asked me to. Lord, I hope you never do. Let the world call me fool. Things are right with me and you. There's no end to what I do, just because you asked me to. Let the world call me a fool. Simple love, simple truth. There's no end to what I do, just because you asked me to.
I'm Tom Nunn from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Pretty much every bluegrass guitar player I've met has a Martin. Is that your guitar of choice as well, or do you, what kind of guitar do you normally play?
When I graduated from high school and got full-time job, but it's the first guitar I went out and bought. Like, I had other guitars, but yep. I finally went out and bought a, in 1975, a brand new Martin D35.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And then from there, I bought and sold some, and until I got the one that I have now that I really like a lot. I wish I would have been guided more. Like, you know, I would have at the time, like in 1975, if I would have had the, somebody would have told me about, I just went out and bought a Martin, right?
Yeah.
Just, okay, I need a Martin guitar. So I went and bought one. But if I would have really looked around and into it, I would have probably, you know, bought something more vintage and really what I know about guitars today, I would have probably even ended up with something really, really good. Eh? Like, I have a good guitar, but I'm just saying. We were kind of all new to this, and I went out and bought the 35. I liked it, but from there I started listening to other guys play guitar, and they were using 28s and 18s, and I was like, gee, they seem to have a little more to them. And then eventually I bought and sold and bought, and I finally ended up with a guitar that I really, really liked.
Great, okay. What type is that then?
It's a Martin D28.
Okay, great.
It's a 78. I bought it used, actually, and I've been using it since 1980.
That's got some wear marks on it, I bet, eh?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it's been worked on too, you know, like you wear out frets and
neck resets
and things like that. And
yeah, I'd rather see a guitar like that though than like sometimes you see a guy that's got this perfectly pristine guitar that's, you know, 30 years old and I mean it looks beautiful and everything, but I'd rather see a guitar that's been well played and enjoyed, I think. So
oh yeah, like, and I've never been one to baby them either, like play it, like, you know, sometimes we'd be jamming at festivals still early in the morning and, you know, around campfires and everything. And in the morning, put on a new fresh set of strings and go at it again.
Oh, for sure. So why don't we get into some of your bands? Like, I know you passed along two CDs, Randy Morrison and the Flat River Band, and then also Clean Sweep. Do you want to talk about those, or do you have other bands prior to those two bands? Or
a bunch of us in Galt here, they're like, we had a little, a band called Pick Two County. I don't know why we picked that name. There was myself, Norm Tellier, Larry Johnson, Jerry Fogarty, and Guy, who was Norm's brother, who was playing bass. You know, we did a couple little things. I remember one time we went into a bluegrass contest, Back 40 Bluegrass Festival, and we actually won that contest.
Wow, okay.
That was kind of sort of like one of the first bands. And then after that, I got approached by a fellow, his name was Jan Wangensveld, and he was a bass player, and they needed a lead singer and a guitar player. So that's where I met Ron Beingessner, the banjo player.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That was the beginning of the first Clean Sweep.
Okay, great.
With those guys, it was myself, Jan Wangensveld, Ron Beingessner, and Norm Tellier.
I think I was playing with a band, this is years ago, with Ron, but I think he was playing the pedal steel. Maybe I have the wrong guy, but it was definitely a Beingessner.
Yeah, Ron plays pedal steel.
Okay, this was years ago.
Yeah, but at first he was our banjo player in Clean Sweep. And Jan Wangensveld, he had a great sort of like a Del McCrory voice. You know, he did the High Lonesome Bluegrass sound.
You told me, darling, that you couldn't be mine to hold and to have till the end of time. I cannot help it, there's a pain in my side. I just can't see you saying goodbye. You're going away with another one, and I don't know if I can see you gone. My heart, it's not cold, it's as warm as it can be for the love that I know that I can make you see. Goodbye to a heart as warm as mine. My love for you will last through all time. Your arms are so warm, they're leaving me now. I can't see myself when our love goes down. You're going away with another one, and I don't know if I can see you gone. My heart, it's as warm as it can be for the love that I know that I could make you see. Can be for the love that I know that I can make you see.
All right, we're back. It's Steve Todd from Musicians FAQ. Let's continue our interview with Dickie Dugal and learn more about the early days with the bluegrass band Clean Sweep.
Well, we had a lot of fun with that. Like, we played a lot of the local bars in Kitchener and Galt area, and then we'd play all the way up to Fort Elgin and Mitchell, and we played all these little bars, you know, from sometimes from Thursday till Saturday, and plus a matinee.
Were you doing like festivals and everything too?
Yeah, we did. We might have done a couple festivals. Ron Weigenster always tells a funny story. One time he got a call. You've heard of the Tottenham Bluegrass Festival?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
And I guess they wanted bands, and they give him a call, and you know, he said, "Oh no, it's too far to go," or something like that. And we didn't take the gig, but I think it was the first annual Tottenham Bluegrass Festival, and we let it slip by. That was funny. But I played there since then, anyways. You know,
I saw online. Looks like you did 2015, and I'm sure you did other years than that. But that sort of popped up when I Googled. Yeah.
We didn't keep ourselves, like, we played Barton's Inn too, you know, and that was with the first Clean Sweep. And plus, we'd have a lot of kitchen parties, and, you know, we were still cutting our teeth on the music, right?
Yeah.
We were one of the only bluegrass bands around, probably. Also, we were kind of fortunate too, because I got to meet some people who were into bluegrass, but they were older than us, like, you know, like we were probably in our 20s, and so these guys were in their 40s, and you know, John Doerr and Benny Schrenk, and Donnie Coombs, people like that. They were the bluegrass people around here that, you know, if Don Reno and that was traveling through, they'd hire him for a night, and they'd get a whole bunch of people, rent a hall, and have Smiley and Don Reno doing shows in that, eh?
You mentioned Benny Schrenk. I think, like, right near me, like, I can actually walk to his property, where they used to have pretty big bluegrass weekends, I think.
Oh, yeah. He used to have, quite a few trailers there, and people from the United States. That went on for many, many years.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd go, and then sometimes I'd be a couple years without going, and then I'd go there 3 or 4 years in a row, and you know, it depends if I was busy or not, you know.
Yep.
So yeah, you'd go there, and he was a very welcoming fellow, and we'd do a lot of jamming and have a lot of fun.
I bet.
That would be called a bluegrass gathering.
Okay. You
know? not quite a festival, but a bluegrass gathering.
Yeah. Well, I heard about it from people in Galt, and they said that you would sort of get together in the afternoon and kind of form little bands in the afternoon and have a great time. And then at night you'd sort of do a concert, I guess, right?
Yeah. Like, you'd have band scrambles and things like that, you know, where you put your name in the hat, and you get picked, and you mix and match bands, you know?
Well, that'd be great.
I was one time I put my name in the hat, and I ended up with a band with a bass player, an accordion player, myself, and probably a mandolin player. And you had to figure out a name too.
Okay.
So part of winning the contest or whatever, you had to have pick a name. So I'm here with this, there's an accordion player there and everything. So I decided to call it the Strings and Bellows.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, and I think we probably won that contest just on the name alone.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
You know, there was other bluegrass gatherings too that were going on around the area. You got to meet these people that, like Benny, he'd go down to the States, and he'd go to bluegrass festivals down there, and everybody knew him. It was unbelievable. Like, Gene Norton Tellier told me one time, him and his wife Nancy down the States, and they come into a festival somewhere, and they mentioned that they were from Canada or something, and somebody said, "Hey, do you know Benny?" <You know? laughs> So Benny was known quite a bit.
Hey,
Don't tell your lies all over town. Just keep the story straight, for now it's too late. Let's stop the rumors going round. Don't drag our lives into the ground. Our love was not of a kind to last, as they say, through all time. So believe it's better this way, for false love we won't have to pay. Don't turn the truth around, don't put words in my mouth. Don't tell your lies all over town. For now it's too late. Let's stop the rumors going round. Don't drag our lives into the ground. It's straight talk I'm giving about us and the way we must carry on. Try not to read between the lines. Let's go on or we're wasting our time. Don't turn the truth around. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't tell your lies all over town. Just keep the story straight, for now it's too late. Let's stop the rumors going round. Don't drag our lives into the ground. Make a clean break, there's true love to be found. There's a whole world we still haven't seen. Don't turn the truth around, don't put words in my mouth. Don't tell your lies all over town. Just keep the story straight, for now it's too late. Let's stop the rumors going round. Don't drag our lives into the ground. Don't drag our lives.
So why don't we get back to the bands? And you talked a little bit about Clean Sweep. So is that the band that you probably did a fair bit of the...
I had kind of like two versions of Clean Sweep. And one was the first one with Norm Talley, Jan Wagensfield, and Ron Bine-Gessner. At one time, we had a fiddle player too, Kevin Reger. Very, very good fiddle player. That was the first band. Then we didn't disband. It's just that things happen, like you start raising a family or people have things to do and whatnot, right? And some people, like I think Norm joined another band, and Jan was busy with something, and I was out of it for a little bit. I got the itch again. I wanted to start playing again, so I kind of put the word out there. How'd that work out? I was emceeing a festival up in Mount Forest. It was a pretty good festival too. They had the Gillis brothers there, and at one time, not the year that I emceed, but one year they had Jim and Jesse there, and it was a pretty good festival. That's where I met Glenn George. He said, I found out, he asked me, he says, I hear you want to start a band. I said, yeah. I said, I want to start Clean Sweep again. He says, I play bass. And so I said, oh, okay. Because I did, I think Ron was helping me out too, Ron Bine-Gessner. So he was going to play banjo. We had a kind of like a practice or a rehearsal.
Yeah.
And George and Ron and myself. Then we started from there, and then we wanted a mandolin player. I think Norm was busy. So we had Gary Dontremont jumped on board. He was a mandolin player from down in Hamilton. He was a vocalist too, a good vocalist, and high tenor. You know, he could do the harmonies and such. Glenn George is pretty good at getting bookings. We actually started getting bookings right away. There was one bar hiring bluegrass up in St. Clements. So we played there regularly in St. Clements quite a few times. Then Ron didn't want to play. He kind of wanted out. He gave us time to find another banjo player, and we ended up getting Glenn McDonald. Glenn McDonald, boy, Glenn McDonald. He came out. I phoned him up. He was living in Kitchener at the time. I said, "Would you be interested in playing in a bluegrass band?" I said, "We need a banjo player, and our banjo player, he wants to quit, he doesn't want to play." And I said, "We're playing. I think it was a Saturday night up in St. Clements." I said, "Why don't you come out and take a listen to us?" And he says, "Yeah, okay." So he came out, took a listen, and I think actually Ron interviewed him for us. So anyways, that week we had a practice. I had heard of Glenn McDonald, but I knew he had played in some pretty good bluegrass bands. He played in Blue Mule, pretty heavy, good bluegrass bands. So we had a rehearsal, and oh my God, he was sort of like one of these banjo players that when you were playing out, every other banjo player from the region would come and sit there and listen to him. He's one of those guys. They were all mesmerized by his banjo playing.
Right? Yeah, this well respected in the.
Oh yeah, that was unreal. I'm glad he came on board with us to start playing. From there on, we did pretty good with that. Yeah, we called it the new clean sweep.
Hi, it's Greg and Earl Freese from the Chaparrals, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
There's one on there, I think it's called Paradise Run.
Okay, yeah, the title track.
And he wrote that.
Oh, really? Banjo, now, is that an instrumental song then? Or?
Yeah, it's an instrumental. Yeah, he's a pretty smooth fella. We had a lot of fun with that band, you know, like we did that CD and something different for a bluegrass band. We actually probably, we broke even with that CD.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, it sounds like you're gigging you know, at a fair bit of places.
It's a pretty hard sell sometimes, eh?
Yeah.
Yep. And to have a CD back then. That was 95, I believe.
Okay, yep. Where did you record this?
A studio in Guelph. Going towards Erin. Yeah. Same studio Stomp and Tom Connors used to record in.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. And after we recorded in that studio, all kinds of other bluegrass bands wanted to record there, and they started recording there. It's really nice. The producer there, or the guy who put the CD together, he was good.
This is a good question for you. When you record bluegrass, how do you do the bed tracks and stuff? Because normally wouldn't you do like the drums and the bass sort of at the same time and then start layering on them?
We built that one. Like yeah. I thought we were going to go in and do live off the floor, but then we decided to take another way of doing it.
And, yeah.
You know, I went in with a click track and my guitar and put down the songs. You know, and then isolate the vocals, and banjo player puts his thing, the mandolin does his thing, the bass player does his thing, and as long as the click track's there, you're
pretty safe.
You do okay, right?
Okay.
And then you add on your harmony vocals and whatnot. But yeah, basically, we built it, we layered it up, and that's how we did that one.
14 tunes, that's a lot of songs to stick on a CD, too.
Yeah, that was a good bang for your buck.
Were these all originals as well?
No, not all of them are originals. The one banjo tune, and I think five of them are five. I might have wrote five songs on there.
Good and for you guys, though. That's great.
Yeah, like it did good. There's one on there. Making History. I don't know if it was used on to start some kind of radio program or something. Because I didn't think it was a real good song, but all of a sudden I'd be getting a little check from SoCan.
Okay.
I'd be there, oh my God, what's going on here, you know? And then it would be that song, you know?
Yeah.
When I got it for Good Old Bluegrass for Fun, well, I knew, you know, because I knew it was getting played a lot.
Yeah.
But Making History, it kind of surprised me, you know?
Yeah, it might have been the opening for somebody's radio show or something.
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
Today it's best that I go away. I'm walking
I'm Mike Curley from Cambridge, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
In There With Me, that's another one that was about my wife, and wrote that one. The boys liked it, so we put it on the CD. Okay. I liked it too.
Hey, you contributed a lot to this album.
We wanted to at least have maybe 5-6 songs originals, because a lot of bluegrass bands, they were covering a lot of stuff. We wanted to put a few originals on.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of nice to be able to.
I wish the other guys would have took a shot at writing. You know, I need to listen to it again, Steve.
Yeah.
I need to listen to that CD again. Yeah.
You guys would have tried to market this right across Canada to all the different bluegrass stations and everything?
Well, we got some help with that. Like, I remember Tony DeBoer, he was a great bluegrass promoter here in Canada. He had a festival up in River Valley now. Tony DeBoer, he took a whole bunch of those CDs and he passed them around down the different festivals in the States and all that. And so that worked out pretty good for us. With that configuration of Clean Sweep, myself, Glenn George, Glenn McDonald, and Gary Dontremont, like, we did get to go over and play in the States. We played in Upper State, New York, and in Vermont, and we did pretty good for that. Some pretty decent bluegrass festivals, and met some. And that CD, that's the one that we also got to go down east with it. We played a festival down in New Brunswick, and at the same time, I remember I rented a brand new van and took the family down, and we made a holiday out of it. And,
well, that's great.
So that worked out good, because
yeah,
down there we did the sales were really good, and we actually broke even with the CD. So that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, for bluegrass, yeah, for sure.
At bluegrass festivals, we'd sell CDs, but you know, not a whole bunch. But sometimes we'd get some bookings in certain little towns and whatnot around Ontario and everything, and they had have a stage set up, and we'd do a set or two, and we'd go back to the record table there, and we had trouble making change, you know, like people would buy it right up, you know, like, I guess you know, they didn't hear bluegrass too often, and put on a pretty good show, and you know, they bought our product. That worked out pretty good, you know. But it was funny, like, you could sell more outside of bluegrass festivals than you could at the bluegrass festival, you know, a different setting, and it would sell. We wouldn't only do bluegrass festivals, we would do folk festivals as well, you know. You know, we done the Mill Race Festival here in Cambridge, and you know, since some of us were from around the area, and I was a golf boy, that worked out really good too, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
That was a nice festival too. That was too bad they closed her down, but that was a real nice venue.
Let's pause the interview with Dickie DuGal to take a listen to a song that he mentioned a few minutes ago, In There With Me, a tune he wrote for his wife.
In there with crazy till I get home to her. I want the whole world to know. I want all to see that she's in my heart and the only one for me. So I have a special place in my heart just for her. She's the only one who can be in there with me. So I have a special place in my heart just for her. She's the only one who can be in there with me. She's the only one who can be in there with me.
With the first configuration of Clean Sweep there with myself, Norm Tellier, Jan Wagensville, and Ron Weingessner. And sometimes we had a fiddle player, Kevin Regger. He was from Elmira. Yeah, we had some fun with that band. Like, we'd play up, you know, Highway 8 and 7 there. We played in Mitchell and, you know, Stratford sometimes. And then Highway 6, we'd play all the way up to Port Elgin. They used to have four nighters up there and a matinee. And we were working, you know, like we had to race back home, go to work.
Oh, wow.
And then go back up. I think it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday matinee and Saturday night.
Okay.
Up in Port Elgin. And that was a tough go when you had to work 2 days of the 8-hour shift and then get the heck up there for 8 o'clock. Right. Yeah.
What would be in Port Elgin? Like,
it was at the, I think it was the Queens.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And we, you know, they'd give us a whole floor up there because them old hotels, they usually have a couple of floors and we'd each have a room or, you know, so that worked out good. And we were pretty tired by the time Friday night came around, but we got through the show and then get a good sleep and then do Saturday matinee and Saturday night.
Wow. Okay.
The matinees, like sometimes you had guests up and that, you know, that helps. You know, like you've played in bars, like, you know, you saw the odd scuffle and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
When something like that would happen, we'd continue playing. I remember one time a fight broke out and Norm, being the funny guy in the band, he says, "Hey, let's do Foggy Mountain Breakdown while they're fighting," you know. Yeah. And that was a theme song of Bonnie and Clyde and that. Eh?
Oh, yeah.
So, and we did it once too. So that was, we were lucky too with playing like in Galt. Like there used to be a bar in Galt called the Albion Hotel. We used to get some bookings there and the crowds were good. Everybody, you know, girlfriends and wives and moms and dads and whatnot could come down and listen to us because we were in town, right?
That's great.
So yeah, it was fun. And then we played out in Barton's Inn too. I lived out in Barton's Inn when we were first cutting our teeth there because they were getting pretty big acts out there. You know, they were getting Ricky Skaggs and Boone Creek and Dale McCurry and Bob Paisley and his crew. Some well-known Country Gazette, pretty good bluegrass bands. Guys like Bella Fleck would play out there. He played with Spectrum, and he came there one day. Well, and they play like it was Wednesday till Saturday with a Saturday matinee. They used to do a radio show out of there too. It was pretty good. So go out there and, you know, take a listen to these big boys. That was a treat, and we got to know some of them. You know, one time, Jan Wagonsville, our bass player, we were up in Renfrew, Ontario at a festival, and Bob Paisley came up and he didn't have a bass player, and Jan did the bass work for him.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that worked out pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he knew all the tunes. We fell in love with these guys because they, they were a good traditional bluegrass bands, eh?
Yeah.
And that was right up our alley. So, and we saw some good Canadian bands out there too. Like there was Dixie Flyers and Station Road and Cross Country Grass. And, yeah, I remember all those guys. You know, yeah. We were 18 and up. Into our 20s and before the bar burned down there, we were there quite a bit. And a lot of people from the Kitchener, Waterloo area and surrounding area used to go out there because, you know, the ones that loved the bluegrass, and you'd be in the bar and, there's people from all over the place coming to see these big American acts that were being booked there, you know.
It's almost hard to believe that Bella Fleck would come to New Denver.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Well, the Bella Fleck and, Ricky Skaggs. It's unbelievable. Like I got to consider myself lucky to have lived in this area, and in this area there was a bar that brought bluegrass bands up like that.
Yeah,
they were just starting out, these guys too, because they're all about my age, in and around my age. You're talking 40 years ago, eh?
Yeah,
45 years ago.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of like Pop the Gator, how they, you know, they just start getting these blues acts in from the States, and all of a sudden Kitchener became sort of a blues hotspot.
Exactly. Right?
It's the same idea. Wow.
I guess the owner, he liked bluegrass, and he probably used to travel down there and, he had an agent who would find him these acts, and they'd come, in the wintertime, they'd drive up in Pennsylvania and places like that and come and, do their thing. And they brought PA and everything, you know. Some of them,
really?
Just they were minimalists, because they just brought microphones and stands and a little PA, use no monitors, you know, and they sounded great though. There was the odd band that would have a whole bunch of equipment, but most of them, they kept it on the down low.
Well, thanks again for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Okay. Hey, this is really good. I know you're getting a lot of people are really getting in on this.
Yeah, I'm glad I started it before COVID-19, and I think since music has been kind of canceled, people are looking for something. Like they want to hear live music, or they know the people I'm interviewing. So I'm getting a lot of listeners, I think, because of that. Yeah.
You know, and the other thing that's good, you're only about 15 minutes away from me.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Yeah.
We could get together and...
for sure.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Be fun.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. We'll get together, and hopefully once the snow's gone and it gets warmed up, we'll get together, okay?
Yeah, okay. That'd be great. Okay.
Well, thanks again. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Well, we've reached the end of part one of the Musician's FAQ feature of Richard Dickie Dugal. I hope you enjoyed learning about Dickie's musical career, and please stay tuned for part two, which should air later in March. I encourage you to follow Dickie Dugal on Facebook for future live shows, as well as his online videos. Being involved with Musicians FAQ and CKMS has really opened my eyes to the richness and depth of music history in our community. As a musician, I think we're pretty lucky to be living in Waterloo region with so much music around us. Please drop me a line if you know a musician that might want to be featured on the program, or maybe a theme for an upcoming episode. You can find previous Musicians FAQ shows by navigating to radiowaterloo.ca, clicking to the Categories drop-down, and selecting Musicians FAQ. We're going to finish off the hour with a final song from Clean Sweep that was written by Dickie Dugal. This one is called Mystery Train, off the band's album Paradise Run. Until next time, it's Steve Todd, and thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS.
refrain. Let me ride it on my own. Don't board my busy train. I want to ride it alone. I'm an engineer on a one-way track, riding on my long way back home. No stations to hold me back, just wide curves and long rails on. Just remember.